Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I just got back from Chicago. We had a tremendous time. Some of my good friends was there. Sandy, Bob, Clara, Brent, Ken, Marianne, we just had such a great time, and we even had people on video. It was tremendous. And it brings me to the point where now we are going to have to make a decision on what we're going to do. We have a water crisis in the city of Benton Harbor. And the mayor and the city manager are in denial. The DEQ sent them a letter telling them that the water was undrinkable. They concealed that information from the people and the community and the other elected officials. They sent him a consent form. That's the city manager and the mayor, Marcus Muhammad. And what he did with it, he concealed the information, held it out until the very last minute. You see, the city council was supposed to have voted for the consent. They never got the opportunity. And the sad part, most of them don't have a backbone to stand up and say, well, hey, you're in violation. They should have given him a no-confidence vote. That would be big right before the election. That we have no confidence in you as a mayor. They voted to get rid of the city manager, Watkins. And he refused to put it back on there so they can vote again. This guy is out of control. He thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And it's shameful and it's disgraceful. The people have allowed this man to take control of this city and destroy the residents. The income tax money was rerouted from the treasurer into Darren Watson's account, or where he could have access to that money. And the people in Benton Harbor said nothing. The treasurer sent out a letter to each and every commissioner telling him the reason why he is resigning, because he said he would not be responsible for money that he know nothing about. His job was to be in control of the money. He's the treasurer. His job. But what happened, Watson and the mayor, reason unknown, see, when they partnership with Whirlpool, they think they become bigger than life. Look what happened to Seawood. He partnership with Whirlpool. Look what happened to the former mayor, James Hightower. He partnership with Whirlpool. But he was making over $150,000 a year. And even had some Whirlpool stock that they had given him as long as he stayed in line. And as soon as he stepped out of line, they immediately called for his resignation. Immediately, it wasn't the hospital. It was Whirlpool who called for his resignation, because he was no longer mayor at that time. He had very little value to them, but he was still making $150,000 a year with a few stock options. But here's where our present mayor, he wants that same recognition financially that Hightower was doing. I was talking to a young lady on Facebook yesterday, and she was telling me that Hightower was a sellout, but not Marcus. I immediately condemned her language and told her, how can you call Hightower a sellout without telling the world that Joe Boa, Marcus Muhammad, is a real sellout? It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate the way they do our people. And we accept it. We allow them to move around. Look at the city of Benton Harbor. They have collected several million dollars in income tax. Several million. But they have elected to fix the streets on Graham, Main Street, and I'm thinking 8th Street. I could be wrong about 8th Street. And the streets, Empire, Britain, all these other streets are falling completely apart. And especially Union, the street I drive down. It is falling completely apart with no excuse. But getting still, we allow these people to do whatever we want, and we'll protect them. If you call, well, I remember when Hightower was the mayor, and we were saying that he was a sellout. He had people supporting him, knowing that he was a sellout, knowing it, but standing up for him, and now they're crying about the potholes in the city. That doesn't make any sense at all to me. I'm very, very disappointed in the people here in the city of Benton Harbor, their lack of knowledge on what's going on. They said that Hightower, when he was the mayor, was not a sellout. But afterwards, when Marcus got in there, Marcus Muhammad, now Hightower was a sellout. The same people, one of the guys that contacted me in reference to Hightower and everything that went on, he said that I apologize for being wrong. He said I was 100% wrong. He said he had no idea that this guy was as bad as I was telling him that he was. And I accepted it. I told him I accept your apology. Because I know you didn't know. 90% of the people, better than that, let me say 99% of the people that live in Benton Harbor have no knowledge on what's going on. Have no knowledge of what is going on. Shameful and disgraceful. But they will stand up for these people if they know them. They will stand up for these people if they are related to them. They will stand up for these people and defy all odds and claim that these people are not sellouts, knowing all the time that they are. How do we survive in a world like this? What do we need to do? Do we need to educate the people? But they don't want to be educated. Not in reference to that, because it's their family member. It's the guy who they went to high school with. It's the guy who they went to college with. You see, when it becomes on that level, it becomes personal and they don't care. They don't even care about them selling out their very own children. They don't care. That's the last thing they care about. That this guy will sell out his children and your children, and you will accept it. I remember when they was building the golf course. You had the Yarboroughs, the Crenshaws, you had Ricky Hill, Hampton, you had, let me think. I know you had both Yarborough, Mickey and Glenn. You had Ricky Hill. You had the pastor, McCoy. He was part of that. And I think even Ruthie was on at that time. And what they did, they took the golf course from the people. They didn't buy it. They signed something like a 99-year lease to put the 6th, 7th, and 8th hole in Gene Clark Park. And once again, the people were silent. They was telling them that they was going to have 2,000 jobs. That's right, 2,000 jobs. They said this golf course is going to bring 2,000 jobs to our community. I told them that would never happen. If that was the case, they wouldn't be trying to drive you out of the community. But it is what it is. We have learned to accept anything white folks say. It don't make no difference what it is. See, right now, anytime Donald Trump opens his mouth, he's lying. But that lie in the eyes of 33% of this country becomes the truth in their eyesight. You can't make a lie the truth, no matter how hard you try. You can't do it. They believe in this stuff, but they've been doing it for years. We don't even know, but we're responsible for this. We are responsible for allowing it to happen. You know, there's 50 million black people in this country, 50 million. And they got us reduced down to about 5,000 to actually stand up fight. But we got to do what we got to do. There is no if, and, buts about it. Well, listen, I want to bring on my first guest, former commissioner for the city of Benton Harbor, a fighter, a person that we're summoned to try to help the situation here. And we believe with his help that we will be able to remove this mayor from office. It's going to be a challenge, and it won't be easy. But the good news is it can be done. We are just going to have to do what we have to do. He's going to have resources. He's going to probably have a billboard like Hightower has. You're going to have a commercial on ESPN like Hightower had. He's going to have all this. He's going to have everything he needs. He's going to have every tool in his toolbox to win this election. And it's up to us to stop him. At one time, this young man was on outside, we thought. We thought that he was on outside. But we found out the hard way that he was not on our side. But let me bring in the young man, Dennis Knowles, the former commissioner for the 4th Ward in the city of Benton Harbor. Dennis Knowles, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. I graciously accept the fact that you would call me the young man. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, you are. See, but look, don't look at it like that. I'm thinking in terms of myself in comparison to you.
You're a young fellow yourself, you see. So
absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I want to bring in something you mentioned earlier, which was the payroll income tax, and then I'll go on further to discuss the poll watching and challenging aspect that the runner against the mayor has to do to protect the election. So here we go. Michigan law requires that the payroll income tax have a separate treasurer to receive and disperse the to receive and disperse the tax funds for its specific purpose. In other words, the finance director was not going to control that payroll income tax. It was going to be a separate treasurer, according to the law in the state of Michigan. But in that, Don Watson appointed himself that treasurer. This is what you have. The purpose for that money was specifically by the voters who voted on it for infrastructure and specified emergency purposes, if I recall. Don Watson has been allowed to put the city of Benton Harbor back into receivership simply because Governor Granholm, or Gretchen Whitmer, I should say, stated 2.5 weeks ago that she will not abolish Public Act 11, the emergency manager law. So that's putting especially black communities back on notice that any slip, any slide, you can be taken back into or put back into receivership. Therefore, your elected officials will not be governing. You will be governed by the state. Let me clear that out. And so since that is the case, it's no different than saying that you have a chop shop and you have also work on outside vehicles being done in public works. And I don't mind mentioning by the public works director, Meechie Meeks. Yes, I'm just letting you know what I know. You have Don Watson, who is the ultimate hirer of these individuals, and in consorted effort, the reason the finance director did leave was due to the fact he was not getting any cooperation from the directors of these departments in the city of Benton Harbor. So he, therefore, could not do his due diligence in terms of finance directing because the city of Benton Harbor's government, by way of, I'm sure that the mayor knew it, Don Watson and others in that consortium, that would mean even Kim, knew that they were trying to get rid of him, and they did. He resigned because he was an honorable man. He was a man above reproach. They don't want above reproach. So now I'm hoping everybody's listened that Darwin is a saboteur in the city of Benton Harbor. When you mentioned Mayor Muhammad, he also, and I'm sorry that people have to get so hungry that they would sell their souls for specific selfish purposes. When you say that you're going to render your life in an oath that we all, I did take that same oath in the city of Benton Harbor for and by the people, that's what it means. It does not mean for myself. It does not mean for my family specific. It does not mean that now that I'm mayor, I'll put my wife on the library board or I'll put my wife or child on the board that died alive. You know, it does not mean those things. It means that you're going to protect the people. You're going to listen to the people. By way of the elections that are coming up, you will have a primary and a general.
I suggest
to any and all candidates to have poll challengers, and the reason for a poll challenger is to watch the clerk's office, not outside the office. You are, when you become a challenger, you are allowed officially to go into that office and watch those absentee ballots and make sure that nothing fraudulent occurs or nefarious occurs with those ballots. You're given that authority because you go to the county clerk and you do this at least 30 days in advance. I'm saying this too, to file for poll challenging and poll watching. Poll watchers are at the polls, as you well know, Reverend Pinkney. They're at the polls to make sure that there's no stuff with those people that work under the clerk at those tables as well as watching that poll, that voting poll, their machine. Because, you know, let's be realistic. Machines in this country are generally and basically sabotaged when it comes to the masses of people and who you think you vote for, you didn't vote for, you voted for whoever they put that computer on to vote for you to vote for.
That's right.
But you think,
that's right.
You think you voted for them. So all in all, what you're saying to me, and you did tell me earlier that it's more reliance now since it's open that everybody can basically vote absentee. It is very crucial to watch those absentee ballots, sir.
Absolutely. And here you do not need a reason to vote absentee. You don't, you know, before you had to be out of town, you had to be handicapped, you had to be over 60. Now you don't have to, for any reason, if you feel like that you want to vote absentee, you are welcome to vote absentee. And I believe this, a lot of times people don't understand how important it is, the absentee ballot. It's one of the most crucial weapons or tool that should be in your toolbox, because that's where you win. You win with the absentee ballot. And I know that Ron Singleton told Emma, he know how to organize a movement to win the election. He might know that, but you still need help. This is big. He don't have the resources to stand up and fight against this guy and actually win. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how strong you are. If you don't have that weapon and in your chest, and you out here trying to fight, you're fighting against a machine. That's what you're fighting against. This is a machine. The only reason that Marcus beat Hightower at that time was because what we did, it was because I had with the prison, and the people stood up and said, we're going to put Marcus in there for the simple reason because they thought that he was riding with me. They thought that he was riding in the same boogie wagon that I was riding in. And he was not in my station wagon. He had utilized the skill to get in there, and once he got in there, it became all him, all about him. He didn't care. He wanted the same amount of money that Hightower. You know the reason why we found out? I think you may have been in court when we subpoena Hightower records. And he was making over $150,000 a year for a job that had no title. There was no title to his job. He didn't even have a title. And all he had was an office. He had an office with a desk in there, and nothing else was in that office. And they knew it. They knew he was in trouble when we subpoenaed him and found out the amount of money that he was being paid for a job. He was making more than some doctors.
Well, can I add something? May I add a statement to this? Ron Singleton ran against Mickey Yarbrough. I believe it was 2005 or 4. I'm not quite sure. He lost that election by 5 votes, and they stole that election through the absentee ballot. So
yeah,
this is true. Secondly, something, a note of what you stated, that pavement and door-to-door is going to be so important simply because everybody does not make it to a debate. Everybody does not make it to a debate. So it will be important for Mr. Singleton to get out there, and I'm sure he's got it in his mind. I'll talk with him to get out there door-to-door. But not only going for himself, but the most important thing is to let people know, and this is through sincerity, that they are valuable, and what they say that they need is what you will do, and that's what you work towards.
Absolutely. And you know, but my thing when you dealing with any kind of election, you have to put together a team though. You know, I don't care. If you running a movement, you still gotta have a team. You gotta have people out there at the polls. You gotta have them guarding the polls. You gotta have people taking people to the polls. You gotta have people in a position to know who to vote for, who not. See, when they go to vote anyway, a lot of times they don't have a clue who they voted for. They don't have a clue. They just go in there because it's election day, you know.
Well,
and then you meet a right in front of the high school, and you tell them, "I want you vote for me." And you give them a piece of paper. Then they'll be more willing to do so. But what we have to do, we have to make sure people understand. One thing about my brothers and sisters, and I love my brothers and sisters, but one thing they would do, they would say they're going to vote today and never show up. That's why you have to put together a team, Dennis. If you don't put together the team to pick them up, take them there, and those are votes that you can count. And here's another thing that you should be counting your votes. You know,
yeah.
I got 300 votes. Okay, how many votes? The primary is different. Now, you can get 300 votes and be one of the top two. You see, it all depends because who else runs? You got Juanita Henry running. You got Jamie Davis. Do you know who Jamie Davis is?
No, I know that C.J. Jones is running.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's a mistake he made. And let me elaborate on that. Because everybody else, let's say Ryan Singleton don't get to be mayor, he still go back and be the commissioner.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And C.F. Jones, if he don't win, Juanita Henry. If she don't win, she go back to her ward.
Yes.
You see? But if C.F. Jones lose, he out. He out the door.
And that's sad, too, because I would consider strategically the best move. It's not about me. That's what I'm listening to you say. It's not about the individual. It's about the cause of a movement.
Right.
Depending on the movement, I can have, if, like you said, if I don't have a movement where I'm involving everybody and I'm going out there and making people feel valuable, then I have a movement, which is called a bowel movement at home by myself. And guess what? It don't move nothing but that bowel movement. So you really got to make a movement happen by way of doing that footwork and involving strategically other people in your campaign or whatever, your movement. So you're absolutely right, Reverend Pinkney. I know you have other guests coming on, and I just wanted to state.
But no, I want you on because, Belinda just texted me and said she's going to be late coming on. But I want you on because I know that you can explain the process. You see, what you're doing right now is tremendous. It gives all my listeners, and we have one of the largest listening groups there is, and for a Blog Talk Radio, and it's so incredible, and cause people be listening, and we got people right here in Benton Harbor, athletes listening to this show. Matter of fact, one of the guys from Benton Harbor had moved to Seattle, and he had emailed me and told me, he said, "Right on, Reverend Pinkney, you still doing it, you know," and I thought about it. And then I saw his mama in Walmart, and she told me, "Yeah, my son always talking about you." I said, "Yes, but we don't need him talking about me. We need him going out here doing things." I said,
that's
more important than anything else, Dennis. And here's the thing. Now, you had a movement, and you put together a team, and your team was victorious. And the reason why it was victorious, see, anytime you run it up against people who has no ambition to help the people, you know, you automatically setting yourself up to win. And this is what a lot of people don't know. Like when Marcus beat Hightower, you know, people wanted him out for the simple reason. They knew he was a liar. They knew he was this. They knew who he was, but they thought that Marcus Muhammad would come in and do the right thing, and he had failed the people. But you, tell us a little bit about things that. Well, let's talk about how you think that Ryan Singleton should run his campaign.
I honestly, this is what I did. I can speak on what I did. I was always walking, like yourself. I was always walking. Meeting the people, even before I ran for even being a fourth ward commissioner, I met up with when I would give them information on how to avoid being arrested. I would give them information on, you know, not saying that if you're doing something wrong, you won't get arrested, but if you're not doing anything wrong, the 411 on the 50, you remember that one, right? So
absolutely.
I did that. I also could really put my spirit into what people were feeling, because I was going through the same thing everybody else was. In other words, if you aren't eating, I'm not eating. If you aren't, if you don't have running electricity, that means you don't have any funds. I don't have any funds. I was a pure grassroots campaigner, and I really enjoyed it because not only did it exhilarate me, it let me know exactly what people thought of me running. And the faith that they had in what I said, see, that's more important than anything. Your word is the only thing that you have. And if you don't consecrate, you don't consecrate it, and this is a God call because we all have a purpose. Ron's got a purpose running for mayor, and I see it clearly. But he's got to get a little bit more aggressive. Now, maybe he's going to do that. He's going to do that. But the point being is that if you're not aggressive, well, I know Marcus is very aggressive, you see. Even though Marcus went against the religion and handed out hams, you know.
and was at Lark eating barbecue, you know. Which is so amazing. They caught him at Lark eating barbecue and still had the barbecue sauce on his lips. And I said, whoa, I did not anticipate that.
I tell you what, I didn't anticipate a lot because, you know, Marcus, Seats, myself, and Juanita all were seated at that time. And then I understood, too, that Marcus allowed a nefarious character named Judge Budsball, part of that crime syndicate over in the county, to come over and swear him in the last time. I could not believe it, man. I couldn't believe it.
You know what? That's when my wife claimed that she told me that he told her that he was. But look, remember, Busball was the one who had sent me who claimed that I had threatened his life with a quote from the Bible. Now, he's the
one. I remember that.
Yeah, who engineered
that. I remember
that. And this guy, supposed to be a friend of the people, and include myself, who we went out and attempted to recall this guy, Hightower, so he could be in there. And he goes against the grain and invites this guy to come over there and square him in.
What is so sad about that, brother? Here it is. I remember Ron Singleton was, I'm going to give you a little bit about Ron. And that's when David Walker was there as public safety director. And we worked like an oil machine. Even then, we're talking about 1993 and 1994. But we over Ron Singleton, y'all got to give him his props. Went over with David Walker, myself, and then it was Beverly Brewer, who was the city manager, to the county to demand that we have our own magistrate. Because as you well know, all the dollars from a ticket, for the most part, 95% of those dollars go over to the county. As you well know, the magistrate, we would maintain and retain most of the dollars. And then possibly the county gets 5%. I don't know how that will work. But the fact of the matter is, we were told outright no. So in other words, the county, the state, the federal government, they're not our friends. They're not our friends. And we need to be more so of a friend to ourselves than anyone else because no one on the planet cares about us. I'm speaking of Benton Harbor.
Yeah.
That's why the streets, when I drive down the streets, I have to drive down the streets. This is where the tax money is supposed to be going on those infrastructure problems. Drive down that street, I'm scared to drive down Benton Harbor like everybody else. If they're fixing sidewalks, that money is slated that you can't fix those streets. Why choose sidewalks when your streets are messed up? Come on.
Well, and remember, the money that they're fixing the sidewalk with was a job that last year, it was supposed to be allocated for the children's jobs, summer jobs. And they did not give them summer jobs. And now using that money during the campaign season to try to make itself look good on that issue. That money was allocated for our children and was allocated to give them a summer job last year, which they did not do. And once again, and here's the thing, Dennis, the people knew about it and didn't say a mumbling word, didn't say anything in reference to it.
The people are too trusting of the wrong characters. That means simply, That simply means that the people are not involved in securing their own lives. Let me make another point that you just pointed out. I do remember when Marcus Muhammad, then being a commissioner, Muhammad at large, along with Ron Carter, who came in with this Section 3 policy for the NSP $2, in which I couldn't get out of my mind how in the hell it started out at $13.9 million, and here the county was given $7 million to do demolition. The demolition money that could have been used in the community in which we lived in, the city of Benton Harbor, where training for those same youth you're talking about could have been done by the contractors such as a Cecil Berry, who lives in the city of Benton Harbor, and he would willingly do, because Cecil's got a great heart for young people, train them in skills of the skilled trades, gotten them certified through all of the necessary hurdles for state certification, then to become qualified apprentices into processes with contractors. But yet and still, that money was diverted to the county and then to BNZ and others. I remember, God rest his soul, Charlie Johnson. Charlie Johnson was all in hopes that monies allocated to Davis Construction, who did the water plant, that same water plant you're talking about now, that he would get a piece of the pie. And I remember I said, Charlie, they're not giving black folks no contracts. I remember telling them that. And I'll say it again. I'll say it to the public, it doesn't matter. But the bottom line was, Charlie was in such hopes, and this is what we do. We hope. We don't have anything substantiated, but we hope that the boss is going to give us something, right? So we always have that hope. The saddest thing, he was promised a $12,000 contract to do some kind of street work around there, whatever that would have been. We're talking about millions of dollars out of that bond issuance of $45 million that you're still paying for in the city of Benton Harbor through your water bills. So here it is, Charlie got nothing. And I said, Charlie, you're not going to get nothing. And I said that those people, and I didn't say those people, I call them the C word, and that's what they were, and I see them as that today, were not going to give anything because they were feeding their families, their friends, BNZ. BNZ is a main contractor for the city of Benton Harbor when BNZ is criminal and against the city of Benton Harbor's people, just like Aramark's. So that's why you need someone in there that's going to really look out for the people and do the benefits. All benefits should be going to the people. And it's a shame that that $45 million bond that the city's still paying for, none of the people got any of the finances out of that. Didn't even build a water bottle plant. It would have only cost $200,000 to get it going in the city of Benton Harbor. But due to people who would limited minds and mentalities, it never happened. But I am talking about it even now. Well, you know, you're the one that came up with that. But no, it wasn't just me. It was V.O. Luster, too, a great man in the water department, a brother. But no one looked out for the interest of the people. That's why the people, Reverend Pinckney, they don't have faith. And you said, well, they're ignorant. No, they're tired. The people are tired. Get lied to time after time, government after government. And they get a lot of words and no action. That's what's going on with the people.
And you also you're correct. You know, there's no action. Here's the question: do our people need to be more educated, or should we be out educating them on a different level on issues inside our community? Should we be holding even town hall meetings to let them know that there's a problem? Let me go here. Let me go to the school system. Let's not talk about the city government. Let's go to the school system. Now, you and I both know this, that a public school system could never, ever, ever have a CEO in charge. Because a CEO is a title of a business. It's given to the top business person. And the people in Benton Harbor, when I was telling them that you cannot have a CEO over a public school system, you're in violation of the law, not Reverend Payton. You're in violation of the law. That's what you're in violation of. And
yes,
and here's what happened. These guys went out, Joe Taylor, all these guys went out and voted for this guy to become the CEO rather than superintendent, and gave him absolute power. Listen to this. He had them to sit out in the audience. He had them to sit out in the audience, and it was not the white folks at an all-black school around the table. You've been to the school board. You know how that table is set up. Now,
yes, sir.
One single black person was sitting at that table. Everybody up there was white folks that he had brought in with six figures. I'm talking six figures. They making over $100,000 sitting there of our money. And we supposed to be $18 million there. But here's something that most people don't know. The $18 million that they claimed that we was in debt to, when he got there, they said that the school system was no longer in debt. The $18 million has been wiped away. Okay? When they found out that he was in violation of the law, they brought the $18 million back, and now the Bentonhouse school system now is $18 million in the red again.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
What that says to me, I know it dogs in on you as well, just as it is with the city. This is a mechanism put in place, and simply because you mentioned it too, that our people are not educated properly.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have cultural classes where you know who you are and where you came from in class. They don't have civics in class. They don't even have home economics or skilled trades anymore. This is a shame that those have been extracted. But here's the real problem. The real problem is, when you have people that are yes, sir, on any panel, on any committee or commission, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, they're not thinking themselves. Then they come up with reasons why they would vote the way they vote, and they don't make sense. So everybody's lacking. Therefore, the people in the city of Benton Harbor, in that Benton Harbor area, even in the township, they're not educated because they don't have true leadership. They don't have people that research. They don't have people that think for themselves. They may get insulted, but it doesn't matter, because right now we are in dire straits, people. Right now our lives are on the line, people. Right now genocide is reality, people. And right now you need real leadership, but you have to choose the leadership that you have. Do you still want to be represented by a friend that would then get in their account that they're doing something for you when all the time they're saying, yes, sir, boss? Or do you want people that would, for themselves, include you in the thought process, the think tank and the people, and then carry out the processes that you ask them to do? That's what you got to make a decision on. That's how you get educated. Real leadership is people that will stand through the fire, and you back them up.
Amen. And here's something that came about before they discovered that the CEO was in violation of the law. He was going around telling people that he had a buyer for the high school, the baseball field, the
football field,
and everything that's right off the water. Everything he had a buyer for it, and he wanted to move all the students. He said, "Well, maybe if we're lucky, we can get a school built out there on that contaminated land out there by Lincoln College."
Yeah. Oh, my
God. But the point is, we accept stuff from white folks. When they say stuff, we believe when they say stuff, and they know that they lying. But we accept it. And you, Dennis, listen to this. You can have the evidence to support what you're saying. And a white person comes up and say, no, that's not right. Here it is. Even though you have the evidence to support it, they will square you down and call you all kind of names. our community. They don't have IT.
It is so true with Belinda Brown, and we have already known that Willie Lynch syndrome, that Willie Lynch were perpetually, it's the thing about the light skin, dark skin, straight hair, nappy hair complexes that we have that have been really breeded in us in time. And the sad part about it, like you said, you can show all the evidence of fact in the world. I'm a victim of that, where I did show evidence. And even the people, I remember when I was going through court situations, you remember that too as well.
Yeah.
Because you went through it. And they accused me of stopping someone's phone service. And I asked the judge, then Judge Dwayne, who said that, is there anything I had to say? I said, well, Judge, I never call him Your Honor because I don't honor those people. Judge, how could I stop a phone service? I'm not AT&T. How is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the bottom line is, but the people believe that, and they ran around saying, well, I was threatened to bomb somebody and all these things, and people believe that. How could I? I didn't have a match to make a bomb. I didn't have any mechanisms, or if I did threaten to bomb someone due to Homeland Security, I should have been arrested then. Let's put it that way. So,
absolutely.
I am so inside my heart that generationally in the city of Benton Harbor, we have been foolish people because we make foolish choices. And I don't mean that on drugs or alcohol or anything or those things. When it comes to leadership, we make shoddy decisions, and then when they get up in there, they're doing the jigaboo and the Candyman, Sammy Davis or Bojangles. And then at the end of the day, people are angry because nothing's gotten done for them, but then they'll go around again and vote for the same people, hoping that they'll do right by them when they never intended to, because they don't even talk with the people once they get in. They begin to talk politics or whatever that is. Or they get in, and then they have to change. You know, it's like putting a camera on somebody. Their whole language changes. Their whole body language changes. And now they have to act a certain way. No, be yourself. Right now, people, I have to say this on Reverend Pinkney. I thank you for allowing me on. You have to make rational decisions right now for your life. And if you choose people that keep on letting you down, every time that you're being let down, they're taking the city back. You see them? They come in everywhere. They took downtown. And they told you that my dog is going to poop on the ground and ain't nothing you can do about it. And you were scared to go downtown. When they do a restart downtown. Then, like you said, money slated for the neighborhoods, which was the NSP $2, never went to the neighborhoods. Come on.
Absolutely.
This is basically the fault of the local government, because I remember Crenshaw and them sitting back and amen and everything, like they were doing such a good job. And that means that they were dumb too, because they thought they were doing a good job, and they really wanted to believe that they were. The fact of the matter is, they were committing homicide and suicide.
You said it all. But here's a question this lady said, and she's on Facebook. She said, well, she first defended Hightower, said Hightower wouldn't know sellout. She said she had to have, I need evidence to support it. Well, I said, what you need to do is go to the city council meeting and listen and learn. And then you can make your own decision. I said, I don't want to sit here and put words in your mouth. I believe that you have to find out for yourself. Don't listen to Reverend Payton. You know, go there and make your own decision. And here what she said. Well, no, I want you to give me the proof. I said, well, that's a lazy way of doing it. I said, well, I got proof, but I wouldn't give it to you. I said, why would I give it to you? That don't make no sense to me. And then she said, we can't validate. I said, we can validate it by you going to the meeting. It's simple. And I said, then you can draw your own conclusion. You can here's the thing, Dennis. When I told her she can draw her own conclusion, I knew she was a fraud then. When she said, well, she wanted me to give it to him. Well, you can get the same information I got. You know,
yeah.
And matter of fact, you probably can get more. since you know these people so well. And she was like, and I just ended the conversation like this. You are in denial. You see, that's what you are. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway, because that's the mentality of yourself, you know. And not to be hard, but just to be
realistic. That's devaluating yourself. You devalue yourself because you don't invest the time to go and look for yourself. That's what happens.
Right. Absolutely. And to me, it's a no-brainer. Somebody tell me something, I'm going to find out for myself. You see, I respect that. You open the door for me to go look. Now, let me go look. And then I draw my own conclusion, you know?
Yes.
But these people know. Like, they knew them Yarboroughs. They knew what they was doing. They knew that the Crenshaw. They knew that these folks, Harold Hampton and all these folks, Ricky Hill. They knew, and here's the top one, Steve McCoy. And him and Ruth did was criminal, you know. They took $80,000 from World Peace. $80,000 they was paid. I don't know whether, I can't say Ruthie, and I'll be wrong to say that. That wouldn't be fair, but I do know, and that was verified even by Reverend Charles. He even made the statement. He said, he said, you was right on point. I don't know where he told me. He said, Reverend, I don't know how you knew that. He said, because it's supposed to be something undercover. I said, all you have to do is watch and listen. I said, I listen to everything. I watch everything. You know, it may not seem like I'm watching. It may not seem like I'm observing, but I watch everything, Dennis. I mean, everything. People can be talking. I be holding a conversation with somebody else and listening to that conversation because I want to know.
I think you and brother was raised in Chicago, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, then I understand. I really do.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Dennis. But what you know? What my thing is this, Dennis. We can sit here and talk and spin our wheels all we want, but if I'm going to say that if Ron Singleton don't get out there and do it, he got 2 months to do it. Because in August, you got June, July. You don't have August. You know, you probably have a few days here in May. But if you don't get out there and make yourself known, you're going to lose this. You may not even come in second place.
I'll tell you what I did do. I did state to Ron, and he did ask if I would help him, and I said I would. So I asked him to whatever capacity he would need me in to use me in that capacity. I'm waiting on that capacity. I will be there to help in that capacity and also to lend any suggestions that I can that would be accepted by Ron Singleton in his campaign or movement. So, because I honestly believe that he's the best candidate. My opinion.
No question. He got. See, here's the difference. He got integrity. You see, that's what I believe Ron has. That all the rest of them lacked. They don't. They never had that. They could be bought and sold. You know, and even our present man, who I would have bet in my life that would not be a sellout. If you would have told me that Marjorie was going to be a sellout, but he had. Even when he was a commissioner, he had went bad, you see.
Yes.
And I had to go talk to Minister Farrakhan about him. I said, well, you know, Marcus had become a tool in Whirlpool Toolbox. Not those my bad words. And he pulled them back in. He's too far out there. Now, you can't pull Marcus back in, Dennis.
He is probably separating himself. And I'll say this, and I hope you're listening, Marcus, because your actions – showing honestly that you separated from the nation, brother. It also shows that any time that you would, I'll give an example. I do know that there were pizzas bought for Harbor Towers when they had that flood that you, Marcus, claimed that you bought. But it was not you that bought it. You went out and told people you bought them this pizza to gain favor or whatever, but you lied to the people. You lied to the people because it was a 501c churches and community organizations that bought those pizzas, but you never mentioned them. You see, you just mentioned you. And at the same time you have that I me syndrome, with arrogance and vanity, you are a walking fool. And I would say that that's what brings a person down, because you're right, then the individual becomes no better than a Hightower, as you saw at the end of the day. When they were done using Hightower, finished off with Hightower, he got fired from Lakeland, and he lost any status in the community.
Mm-hmm.
He lost any status. He lost his manhood in the community. He couldn't come out with his chest out.
He couldn't come back out with his chest.
Because you're no longer the man that you said you were, but then again, were you ever the man?
Right. And here's the key. Now we know who the Herald Palladium is. Anytime the Herald Palladium puts something in there about you, that tells you that you're no longer now part of that group, that Whirlpool group. They don't have their arms around you anymore. Just like Seawood. See, Seawood, if Whirlpool was still supporting him when all that money, that $50,000 came up missing, that could have never happened, Dennis. That could have never happened. I don't care how much money he stole. It wouldn't make no difference if they still had their arms around you. They protect their own while they need you. When they don't need you no more, you're going down.
Well, that's just like me, brother. When I, after using the toilet, I flushed the toilet paper. How about that?
Yeah.
But here's another thing, too. And I got to say this to anyone that's running. Sincerity with the people is going to be your key.
Yeah.
Not lying to the people is going to be your key. Your works will be in your walk, not in your words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing you mentioned, I know Ron to have integrity. Now, I've had my fallouts with Ron. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I have had some dates with Ron Singleton where we went toe-to-toe. But here's a litmus test. I have remained friends with Ron since 1992. That should say something. If we're not friends, if we're not friends anymore and you're showing me a lack of integrity, a lack of stance, or the lack of care or concern, I'll get away from you because you're dangerous. Not only to me, you're dangerous to yourself.
Absolutely, Dennis. You are 100% correct. I want to switch up a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You know, like, the people that live next door to me now. You probably know that girl. I can't think of her name. She brought you over here one time. I can't think of her name. But here's what they did. When I was in prison, what she would do, and a white boy, he had a baby by her sister or something. And what they would do, they would take the snow that's on their property and put it on my property. So when Dorothy tried to go out the driveway, she wouldn't be able to see the cars coming. And they was doing it all while I was gone. Okay, I come home, I see that they doing it, and I tell them, don't put your snow on my property because you blocking my, we can't now. That's petty. That's petty. It's only snow. Well, if it's only snow, keep it on your property. You know? So one day, they put a big hill there, and I couldn't get out. I started taking the snow and shoving it back in their yard, in front of their driveway. And, yeah. Oh, look at you shoving. I said, yeah, next time. And that stopped that. See, they from then on, I never had no more problems out of them because they was able to run over my wife while she was here, but I wasn't having it. You see?
Yo, the shame of that is that's total disrespect, and that's an entitlement mentality that I can do this.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing that you're supposed to say. That's disrespect. And we do a lot of that in the neighborhoods. We disrespect one another because we are not really challenged to have ethics, morals, no ethics in a lot of ways. And we're running just behind the same white man doing the same things that the white man does. And simply because the white man does it, we think it's all right. Well, when the white man then puts a levy, a ticket, or a citation on arrest on you, you say, well, what did I do?
Yeah.
You're not entitled.
What did I do wrong?
I've been putting the snow over there on your property for the last 2.5 years, and nobody said that. Now you come home and tell me it's wrong for you to put for me to put my snow on your property. Keep your snow on your property.
wait, but the saddest part about it when you because you're right, your wife is one of the sweetest, humblest persons that I know, and of course. Don't get me wrong, she's not intimidated. She probably looked at them as foolish people. She's a godly
mm-hmm.
person.
Yeah. She was thinking, when my husband get home, he would deal with you on this. And I ain't even concerned about it. But they know that I was going to deal with them. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. But listen, Dennis, we have ran out of time. And I want to tell you a great conversation. I truly believe that, you know, when you get here, that you're going to be able to propel Ron Singleton to a whole different level, change his mentality. And I believe that he he's going to be all right. I think that, you know, with your help now, without your help, I don't see him making it through. He may not even make it through the primary.
I think that all of our help is going to be in order because if we're singing the same song, you, me, and whoever else, to Ron Singleton, then he's got to listen.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm with you 100%. But listen, we have ran out of time, Dennis. Thank you so much for being on the show, and let's talk soon.
Yes, sir. God bless you too, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
All right, and you have a good day.
You as well.
Bye-bye.